Dear Lord, we thank Thee today for the old story of Jesus and His love. We pray that we will never tire of hearing that story. We rejoice, Lord, in what it means to our own hearts and lives. And we pray that Thou wouldst make it to be meaningful in the lives of others as well. If there are those that know not what it means to feel a joy and a delight and a sweetness in the message of Christ's love, that Thou wouldst change their hearts and bring them unto Thyself. Meet with us here today. Speak to us through Thy word. May Thy Spirit work in a mighty fashion, and may Thy name be honored and glorified. This we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I would like to draw to your attention this morning a text of Scripture that is found in the book of Job and the chapter 11. It is Job chapter 11 verse 12, where it says, "For vain or empty man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt." Though man be born like a wild ass's colt. Despite what many believe and teach, mankind is a higher creation than the animal kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, "How much better is a man than a sheep?" And the Lord made it clear in His teaching that mankind is a higher creation because he has a living soul. Evolutionists teach that man is an animal among animals. He is just one species in a variety of species. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Man is not merely an animal. He has a living soul. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and the Bible says, and man became a living soul. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the chapter 3 and verse 21, the question is posed, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" Man is a higher creation than the animals. And yet, while that is true, in many respects, mankind can often resemble the beasts. Especially is that so when it comes to certain modes of behavior. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 49 and verse 20, the scripture records, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." And of course, the Bible in many places compares men in their sinful characteristics to the animal kingdom. When John the Baptist preached, he didn't exactly flatter his hearers. He called them a generation of vipers. The Lord Jesus Christ was just as scathing of some, and he referred to them as being like swine or pigs. And he once referred to Herod as that fox. We read of the Apostle Paul when he told the church at Philippi, "Beware of dogs." While the Apostle Peter said that some evil men were brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And of course, in many parts of Scripture, in numerous places, men are compared to sheep. So, the Bible does compare men in their sinfulness to the animal kingdom. And here in Job chapter 11 and verse 12, there's another instance of this. There is a comparison made here between man and beast. Man is born like a wild ass's colt. Now you might wonder why the Lord uses this particular analogy in this instance. Well, it is a remarkable, but a rather apt description of the natural man, as I hope to point out Now, let's consider these words together. Though vain man would be born like a wild ass's colt. When you think about it, that's a picture which is very humbling to man. It's not flattering. It doesn't massage our ego when we find out that we are compared to a wild ass's colt. When I was growing up, if someone referred to someone else as an ass, it was a term of derision. It meant that you were dumb. It meant that you were stupid or you were silly. But when the Bible uses this terminology, it is very accurate because it refers to each and every one of us as we are born into this world. And when we read things like this, it's hurtful to our pride. And there are many people who utterly reject this kind of charge. It offends them because they feel that rather than telling people things like this, we ought to be lifting their self-esteem. That we ought to be seeking to bring people to find a greater sense of their own self-worth. That's what psychologists teach. That's what psychiatrists tell us. This is what we should be doing. The world's philosophy is to say something like this: there's good in everyone. And so therefore people ought not to be encouraged in any way to put themselves down or think badly of themselves. But you know, the message of the gospel is entirely the opposite. When God comes to us in grace, the first thing that he does is to humble us. To bring us down. In that sense, we could say our pride needs to be hurt. And here you have a comparison that will humble you if you really think about it. The animal that's referred to here is the donkey, the ass. In the Old Testament, that was an animal that was sullied in its reputation. It was counted as unclean. If you go back to the Old Testament book of Leviticus, you will find there that there were certain animals that were regarded as clean and unclean. There's some that were fit for sacrifice, some that were not fit for sacrifice. There were some animals, for example, that split the hoof, but they chewed the cud. It was all right for them to chew the cud, but it was not good for them to divide the hoof. Other animals that didn't divide the hoof didn't chew the cud, and so they were also considered to be unclean. An animal had to have an undivided hoof, and it had to chew the cud. And I believe that there's a spiritual application there as far as the inward and outward part of man is concerned. Chewing the cud has to do with food and that which we eat, that which we take into the inside. And the foot, of course, has to do with the walk and the way that we live in this world. Clean and unclean. Now what does God say about mankind? He says that man is born like a wild ass's colt. You study the list of animals there that God gave to the Israelites. One of the animals that was considered unclean was the ass. An unclean animal, sullied in its reputation. And does the Bible not tell us in the book of Isaiah, in the chapter 64 and verse number 6, that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? We are unclean. We are just like the leper who had to go about with a covering over his top lip and crying out, unclean, unclean. For leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. We have also the words of Christ to confirm this. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, the Lord said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, whitewashed graves, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. We're unclean. Spiritually, the natural man is unclean. He is like a wild ass's colt. The ass, furthermore, is not only sullied, but it's senseless. That is to say, it seems to have less of instinct than most other animals, which is probably why it came to be a pejorative in the English language when someone would say, you silly ass, or something of that nature. You're like a donkey, you're silly, you're stupid, you're dumb. Now, you may not be dumb today as far as your thinking processes are concerned. You may have a good education, a very great intellect, and a very high IQ and great gifts of intelligence. But yet, all of that could be true and you not have and not possess 1 ounce of spiritual discernment. Because the things of God are not just understood mentally. There has to be a spiritual understanding of the things of God. Now, when we read this scripture in the book of Job, it says, for vain man would be wise. And it simply means he would be wise, or he would be thought wise. He wants people to think that he's wise. That's the import of this. But in reality, the second part of the verse confirms he is like a wild ass's colt. He has no sense when it comes to the things of God. And we preach this all the time without apology. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, that's man as he is by nature, man as he is born, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why we pray for sinners that the Lord would give them light, that the Lord would enlighten them, because by nature they don't have that. They are without intelligence as regards the things of God. We learn this also in the Old Testament, in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, verse 22, the Bible says, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Here's the psalmist confessing his own animalistic character when it came to the things of God. And you know, man is considered to be worse than the ass when it comes right down to it, because if you read the early part of the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 in fact, and verse 3, the Lord is chiding the children of Israel, and here's what he says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And then he speaks of them as a sinful nation and a people laden with iniquity. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. So the animal in this sense understands more than man when it comes to God and the things of God. At least the Lord says that beast knows who its owner is. Men don't realize that all souls belong to God ultimately. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Ephesians 4 verse 18, speaking of the human condition, says about the Gentiles, but it's true of all unsaved people, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And you may say, well, we've heard this before. Isn't that the doctrine of total depravity? It is. It is. Here it is emphasized again when it speaks of man being as a wild ass's colt. He's sullied, unclean. He's senseless. And then another aspect that we could consider, and that's certainly a characteristic of the donkey or the mule even, it's stubborn. Oh, is it stubborn? Years ago, my father-in-law tried to team a couple of mules together to get them to pull him on a buggy without any success whatsoever. They were not for budging. They were not for moving. And you will find that this is something that is a characteristic of the ass. It's willful. It is ungovernable. And isn't that a picture? Isn't that an apt picture of us by nature? We're rebels. We're born rebels. If you don't believe that, just look at the little child from its earliest days and see the behavior of a young baby even. and how that they can throw a fit at a moment's notice because of the sin nature that dwells within them. Man is a rebel by nature. He's born that way. In fact, the scripture tells us clearly in the Psalms that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. The wild ass's colt from birth. Isaiah 53 verse 6 contains those words, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And you find a child or an adult going his own way, rebelling against authority and ultimately rebelling against God's authority. It's because of the sin nature. That's what's responsible for that. We are as a wild, untamed animal by nature. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, it says, how canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. A wild ass, a stubborn creature, a willful rebel. That's our nature. That is our position. You speak to people in the day in which we live about the things of God, you'll find that there's this rebellion that rises up within them. They don't want the restraints of God placed upon their lives. They desire to have their own will and their own way. They have the Ishmael character. If you go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 16, the reason I'm referring to this man is going to become clear in a moment. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12. Ishmael is the child of the flesh. Isaac is the child of promise. And the book of Galatians speaks of that. There's an allegory there, but I'm not getting into that today other than to say Ishmael himself is described here in verse 12 of Genesis 16, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And in this world today, the followers of Ishmael are of that character. And let us not forget that. The Bible says it. But it's interesting that the word wild here for the wild man, in the Hebrew language, it is literally a wild ass man. Isn't that remarkable? He shall be a wild ass man. Ishmael is a type of the flesh, and man's flesh is ass-like. It's donkey-like in its stubbornness. But there's something else about the ass that we need to think about in relation to mankind. It's an animal that is servile. It's a beast of burden. You go back to Genesis 49 and the words of Jacob on his deathbed. When he was speaking to his sons, he said concerning one of them, Genesis 49 and verse 14, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. The picture that's given there is of a beast of burden carrying provisions or carrying crops from the field. It was a servile creature. Remember how the Lord, in speaking in the Gospel in Matthew chapter 11, he said in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's speaking here of service. Because he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Come under the yoke. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Become my servant, is what he's saying. An ass is not looked upon as a free animal when it is burdened for the service of its master. And so man is a servant. He is a bond slave of sin. People think they're so free, they can do whatever they want, but actually they're in bondage to their sins. in the service of their natural master, even the devil. That's a very humbling truth for people to get their heads around, or their hearts around, more to the point, that they're in bondage to anyone or to anything. But the scripture teaches this. In your natural condition, in your natural estate, you are, to quote Job again, a wild ass's colt. That is a picture which is humbling to man. But I want you to notice that it is a picture which is hopeful for man. Now, when you look at this and the description that is given, and it is so humbling, how can it be at the same time that which is hopeful? That man is born like a wild ass's colt. How can this be a picture which is hopeful for man? Well, it is because of what we are told of the ass in Scripture. Go with me to Exodus chapter 13. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Exodus chapter 13, from verse 11, the Lord is giving them precepts and laws for their time in the promised land. And he says, verse 11, "And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. If thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." Look at the first part of that verse. "Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb." There you have the ass redeemed by the lamb. We remember just a chapter before that, in Exodus chapter 12, there's the story of the Passover lamb, and the firstborn child in every Israelite home was redeemed by the shed blood of the lamb. And the Lord said here, the firstling of each ass is to be redeemed. The lamb provided for the ass. I think the picture is so clear of the grace and the mercy of God to sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Paul wrote to Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. It says in Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's something that blesses the heart of every Christian. We can think back at God's amazing grace to us. If you take the place of the ass, seeing your uncleanness, your stubbornness, your stupidity in sin, your servile bondage to the devil, there's certainly hope for you. There was hope for us when the Lord brought us to see that. You see, the gospel is all about God's grace to sinners that are ass-like in their nature. There is redemption for sinners through the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he is described, of course, in 1 Peter chapter 1. "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." It means your vain manner of life. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And incidentally, the without blemish and the without spot has reference to the inner part and the outer part of the lamb. Our Lord Jesus was pure in his life, and he was pure in his heart. If you say, "I'm like a wild ass's colt," no doubt you can be encouraged by this. Here's a hopeful thought. The lamb was provided to redeem the ass's colt. The firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with the lamb. The ass redeemed by the lamb. That's a hopeful picture. And then there's the ass required by the Lord. You see a prophecy in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, in the minor prophet, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and look at this, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. What is this referring to? Well, obviously it's referring, when you go to the New Testament, to the Gospels, to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy concerning Christ. Because when he came in to Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 21, it is recorded from verse 1, when he came into Jerusalem, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Have you ever stopped to read that and think, how did the Lord know that in that part of the city there would be an ass and her colt? Because he's God. He knows everything. The Lord didn't have to be right there to see that, to know that it was taking place. And he sent the disciples to go to that place and to loose those creatures and bring them to him. Verse 3, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now look at this, Matthew 21 verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And here you have the reference in Zechariah chapter 9, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Here you have the ass required by the Lord. Jesus said it himself, the Lord hath need of them. You might say, well, the Lord doesn't have need of anything. That is true in one sense. But there's a time and a place when the Lord chooses to need certain things and certain people. The Lord does need you in his service. He has chosen that. We do need to pray. We do need to serve the Lord. We do need to witness. The Lord hath need of them, or as it is in another gospel, the Lord hath need of him. What happened here? The Lord released that ass and the colt, the foal of an ass. The Lord released it from its former master, that he himself might employ the ass in his service. The Lord used the ass. I got to tell you, that's a very hopeful picture for me. The Lord can use even a dumb animal like that. You see, the Lord can use any of his people that he himself has redeemed. Sinners saved by grace, he uses to do his work and his bidding. And the Lord wants to use us. The Lord wants to use you. Even the children God can use. The Bible tells us of a little girl in the Old Testament, and we don't even know her name. All that we know is that she was a servant brought from a far country to be in the household of Naaman. And it was because of that little girl telling the servant of Naaman that there's a prophet who can heal him of his leprosy, that that man ultimately was healed of his leprosy. It was because of the faithful witness of that little girl. And God can use the children if they're willing to be used. Think about this ass and the colt in Matthew chapter 21. What did it do? It lifted up Christ before men. It lifted up Christ. Because the Bible shows us here that the Lord came riding upon the ass. It says in verse 5, quoting the prophet, Matthew 21:5, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. The Lord was elevated by the ass. He was lifted up. Not only that, but the animal was under his control. You don't find these creatures, this ass and the colt, running about all over the place, out of control, unruly, not willing to go with the disciples, and not willing, more to the point, to be under the service of Christ. But you'll see here that it's not a wild and a rebellious beast here. It's not resisting Christ. It's not resisting his will. It's going along with his will. Is this not a wonderful picture of the sinner saved by grace? Our purpose in life is to lift up Christ. It's to make much of Christ. My purpose as a preacher is not to say, look at me. It's to say, look at Christ. That's my purpose. You as a believer are the same way. And if you are truly under the controlling hand of Christ, it shows that you have had that ass-like character dealt with by the grace of God. And so while the ass is a humbling picture, is it not also a hopeful picture? Because it illustrates for us what the grace of God is able to do for a rebellious, sinful man. And that encourages me to know that there's none too deep dyed in sin or too dark a place for the Lord to reach. You may be thinking of somebody or several somebodies today, and you would almost shake your head in frustration and despair and say, there's no way, never, never will that person ever be under the rule of Christ. Don't say that. God is able. Sovereign grace can break the hardest of hearts. We sang this morning in our service a hymn written by such a man, John Newton, a slave trader, a cursing, swearing, blaspheming rascal by his own admission. One time he was actually taken as a slave himself in Africa and was held for a time under the authority of a black woman. He himself was in slavery. But that was his job. He was a slave trader. He was a drunken sailor type. But God humbled him. God saved him. And he wrote many, many hymns. He preached many great sermons. But I suppose his greatest and most well-known hymn is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That wild ass's colt tamed by sovereign grace. And of course that brings me to this thought. Not only is this a humbling picture to man and a hopeful picture for man, it is a picture to be heeded by man. Without Christ, and if there is such a one here this morning, I don't know, but if there is, this text describes you and all of us. It describes us as we were by nature, a wild ass's colt. Now if you notice carefully again what it says in Exodus 13 and verse 13, not only does it speak of the redemption of the ass's colt, but it says, and I quote, "And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck." If not redeemed, the ass's neck was to be broken. In other words, it was to be destroyed. If not redeemed by the blood of Christ, therefore, if not saved by the power of his Spirit and brought into subjection to Christ and living for him, you will be destroyed. This is what the scripture teaches. And there's no way of preaching this to pare off the sharp point. There's no way of watering this down without destroying what the scripture says. It is what it is. If you're redeemed, you'll be saved. If you're not redeemed, you'll be destroyed. It's heaven or hell. It's a very simple message. It's a very solemn message. And the word of God is given to you and to me that we might see our exact condition before God, that we might see our need of redemption. And I think that this is a deficiency in a lot of preaching, that there is no diagnosis of the condition, and therefore there's no proper setting forth of the remedy. unless you know that you need to be saved, really need to be saved, you'll not seek salvation. You must see your need. Not the need to just say a prayer after somebody and fill out a card and you're good to go. But to have a work of grace wrought in your heart and life that you can do nothing else but turn from your life of sin to Christ. This is the need. And God's word gives us a picture of our exact condition and shows us our need of redemption. To quote Ecclesiastes again, chapter 3 and verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Isn't that an interesting text? That they might see that they themselves are beasts. Some people's attitude is, don't talk to me about my sin and how I am. That's for somebody down the street. That's for those other rascals that are doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm not like that. I'm better than other people. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as the next person. I'm actually quite a good person. Isn't that the attitude of many? They don't want to hear this about being ass-like in their character. The picture of the colt, the foal of an ass representing man, is one to which they don't want to give heed. But you must give heed to that. You must give heed to that. And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 22, there's another scripture there that's very relevant to all of this. Jeremiah 22 verse 19. And in this instance, it's speaking about an evil king by the name of Jehoiakim. But what is said of him can be said of each and every sinner without Christ. What does it say? Jeremiah 22:19. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. In his case, it was literally a reference to the fact that they would just dig a hole and throw him into it. He would be buried like an animal would be buried. But there's a spiritual application of these words. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass. What exactly happened when an ass was buried? I have read that the ass's carcass was cast out of the holy city of Jerusalem. It had to be taken outside the gates of the city, outside the city walls, and there it was disposed of. And what's the application of that? Well, if you think of what the Bible says about the New Jerusalem, when the Bible speaks of glory and speaks of heaven, just as the ass was cast out of the holy city of Jerusalem, taken outside, so there is no place in the New Jerusalem for sinners who are not redeemed and whose ass-like nature has not been dealt with by the power of grace. Look at what it says near the end of the Bible, Revelation 21 and verse 27. And it is speaking here of the New Jerusalem, the Holy Jerusalem, it's called in verse 10. What does it say of it? And there shall in no wise, and that means under no circumstances, just as we have that wonderful promise, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It'll not happen under any circumstances. So there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you will be eternally destroyed. And that without remedy. What a terrible message that is. Therefore, when we read verses like this, that man is like a wild ass's colt, we need to take heed to that. And may the Lord himself, in the case of those that are still lost, tame you, subdue you, bring you under his control, as he did with that ass and the colt, the foal of an ass, on that great day when he rode into Jerusalem. May the Lord tame you. May the Lord bring you into subjection to himself. So that then you will be able to say with the Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 6, as your own experience, God be thanked that ye, or we, were the servants, the bond slaves of sin, but ye, or we, have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. May the Lord do that work in those who need him for his name's sake. Amen.